Wonderful words that take us to the heart of the gospel and which speak of the love of God, of the hope that we have in him, and also the faith and trust that we can have in him. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Wonderful stuff. If you know a Bible verse at all, alongside John 3:16, you may know 1 Corinthians 13:13, where the Apostle Paul says, "For now these three remain, faith and hope and love, but the greatest of these is love." It's read at many, many weddings, probably the majority of Christian weddings. It wasn't read at Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding, but it was alluded to very much in the message. And it's a wonderful verse, and it does take us to the heart of the Christian faith and helps us to unpack why someone might want to be baptized. And as we've seen in that reading in Romans 5, faith, hope, and love all loom large. And we're going to take them in reverse order and talk about love first. The amazing love of God. Love is a word that is very easily devalued in our society. People use the word love very easily, and it can mean all sorts of different things. But God's love is different. It's a love that is strong and sure, and it is a love to the loveless. And it's a love that's demonstrated supremely in the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Just hear again the words from verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus gave his life for you. Indeed, he gave his life for you personally. Just reflecting again on the message of that song, that God touches our lives one by one, we recognize that God loves all of us. But it's not with a sort of blanket, indiscriminate love. He knows us personally. He knows our sin and our shame. He knows the wrong things that we've done. He knows that we are under the righteous wrath that comes from God because he is just. But because he is a God of immense love, that overcomes. And he demonstrates that love by dying in our place. That idea of death is set forth very clearly in baptism. As you will have seen, Hector went down into the water, right down, and it's a little bit like a burial. It symbolizes burial. He was covered over. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. Every drop of blood, every bead of sweat that fell from the cross had your name written on it. And so we see that God is a God of love, a God of personal love. He is also a God of great hope. Hope really does loom large in these verses, and in many ways it's the dominant theme. And Paul is very clear that real Christians have great hope. They can look to the future and they can experience the benefits of that hope in the presence. People long for forgiveness and cleansing. And in the Christian faith set forth in baptism, we have that forgiveness and cleansing. People long for power to live differently. And in the Christian hope and in baptism, we have that power. People long for new life. And in baptism, that is set forward so powerfully, the new life that we have, the cleansing, the life that bubbles up. We think about the symbolism of water. It's something that is so refreshing and cleansing. We think of the power of water coming through a waterfall or something like that. And there is that cleansing and refreshing and power. And it's wonderful hope and it's flowing over. I once heard of a baptism where, I need to put this very carefully, they had filled the baptism up really a bit too high. The minister was quite a large chap. The person who was baptized was also not slim. You can probably guess what's coming here. As they went down into the water, it all overflowed into the church. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. It'd be good if it happened here. We can imagine it happening here, and we can think of it happening metaphorically. The water just flowing out, and that sense of abundant life that can't be contained, that can't be kept in, that can't be kept down, that just flows out. And that is there as we put our trust in Jesus, our Saviour and our friend. And that hope really does stretch into the future. And so it's life now and life in the age to come. In these verses, it's speaking about how we are saved, but how we also will be saved on the final day. It's life now and life in the future. Abundant life now and abundant life in the future. If you've not received this, then the encouragement is to do so. And the third thing helps us to see how. Love and hope and faith. In verse 1, speaking to those who have already committed their lives to Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us to wash away our sin and to give us new life. We have a living hope in Jesus. But how do we receive it? Does it just happen automatically? The answer is no. But the answer is still a simple one. We turn from our wrongdoing and we turn to Jesus and we receive his salvation. We put our faith in him. We put our trust in him. And again, in baptism, that is shown so powerfully because Hector, at the very beginning, confessed his faith in Jesus, confessed that he was turning away from his sin, which is a Bible word that speaks of our natural rebellion against God and the wrong things that we do. He said that he was turning to Christ and putting his trust in him. And on that profession of faith, he was baptized. He put his faith in Jesus. And there's an invitation here this morning for all to do this, and perhaps for people to do this for the first time. You can know the refreshing, cleansing, overflowing love of God. You can know the wonderful hope that just can't be contained, and you can know it by putting your faith in Jesus. And when we do that, God comes to us by the Holy Spirit and helps us to be people of love, people of hope, people of faith. So I was going to refer to Romans 6, and I just want to encourage us and challenge us with these verses as I encourage and challenge myself. Thinking about baptism very specifically, Paul says this: we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life. Hector comes down into the water and is baptized, and it's a bit like a burial. He comes up out of the water, and it's a bit like a resurrection. And what I always like to do is to have someone coming in one side and going out to get the other, to symbolize that the old has gone and the new has come. Yes, we still mess it up, but there is a power within us by the Holy Spirit as we read God's word, as we worship God, as we put the Christian faith into practice. There is a power that strengthens us to live differently, to be people who reflect the love of God to others, to be people who are people of amazing hope in a world where there is little hope. I was reading this morning some headlines in the Observer newspaper where there is a survey saying that Britain has never been as divided and pessimistic and angry. The headline is "Divided, Pessimistic and Angry. Survey Reveals Bleak Mood of Pre-Brexit UK." One of the statistics from the survey: 72% of the population fear divisions will get worse. And a pollster commented, "I can't recall such despair." The opposite to despair is hope. And that's what we have as Christian people. Wonderful hope. Hope now and hope for the age to come. So it's new life, new lifestyle. If you've not made that commitment to Jesus, if you have not been baptized, then now is a moment where you can make that commitment and we can follow through in the days ahead. We have a baptismal service in September when Magda is going to be baptized. We have baptismal classes that are ongoing for young people. So this is an exciting time. And it would be great if you are not yet a believer, if you're just now putting your faith in Christ, or if you've not baptized, you've not been baptized as a believer, for you to join the party, to join the celebration, and to make your own commitment to Jesus. And for those of us who have done this, for those of us who have reached out in faith and received the love of God and received this superabundant, overflowing hope, may we be those who live as people of faith, trusting our Lord Jesus. May we be those who have this sure and certain hope in our lives. And may we be those who share the love of God by word and deed with all that we meet. Faith and hope and love. These three remain. and the greatest of these is love.